Now, in the series of questions which we have been discussing in the Sunday night meetings, we have come to a question that we have often been asked about. And that question is, what relationship should believers have to horoscopes? We're going to include in our discussion tonight the attitude of believers toward fortune-telling, spiritism, and Satanism in all of its forms, because we believe what we say about one will apply to others. But since the question is particularly related to the subject of horoscopes, our thoughts will revolve around that. We should recognize tonight that there are many believers refer to the subject we are discussing this evening as a harmless curiosity related to the future, or innocent parlor games, such as the Ouija board, which some of you may have in your homes. I would like to emphasize to you tonight that all of these things are related to Satanism, the revival of which has had an alarming impetus in these last days. Now, because my opinion is no better than your opinion, I would like to emphasize that tonight we are going to consider the scripture and horoscopes. Not what Joe Temple thinks, not what you may think, but how the scripture is related to horoscopes. I would call to your attention this evening a passage of Scripture recorded in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, which you will find on page 1479 if you are using the Bible provided for you there in the book rack. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." We pause in our reading there to call to your attention the truth that is presented in the first verse of the chapter. "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." I believe that we are seeing in our day at least a partial fulfillment of this passage of Scripture, a time when men are giving heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines of demons. I would suggest to you that the only way we are going to combat this growth of Satanism is to recognize what is presented in verse 3, if you will look at it again, "forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." And we are interested at the moment in the last statement of that verse, "them which believe and know the truth." For we believe that the only way the problem which we are facing today can be combated is for men to believe and know the truth. And never was there a more important time for this to be a necessity than now. Because if you are familiar with what I am going to refer to as the revival of Satanism, you know what a serious day we are living in. Are you aware that Anton LaVey is minister of the First Church of Satan, located in San Francisco, California, a duly recognized incorporated church of 7,000 members, an organization so closely knit that you are charged $20 for the privilege of joining, and you are assessed periodically $10 as dues, which must be paid, and which there must never be any consideration of not paying. If you are familiar at all with the church to which I refer, you know that the main purpose of this church is to be against everything that man calls right and good and just. As a matter of fact, if you become a member of this church, or if you evince any definite interest in it, you are given what is known as the Handbook of the First Church of Satan. In the Handbook of the First Church of Satan is stated the purpose of the church. They do not leave anything to your imagination. The purpose of the church is to blaspheme God, to mock the Christian church, to address themselves to deity that represents the reverse of God. This group of people who have churches not only in San Francisco, but in such metropolises as Toledo, Chicago, and Washington, D.C., have observance of what they call holy days, black holy days, days in which they celebrate the black mass. The observance of the black mass consists primarily of a nude woman serving as an altar. Every woman who joins the Church of Satan must agree to be used as an altar any time there is a desire on the part of the authorities of the church. Nude women are used as altars. The sacred meal, known as the sacrament, is eaten from the person of the woman who serves as the altar. And sacred wine dedicated to the devil in mockery of the communion which we remember the Lord Jesus Christ is drunk from the navel of the woman in question. And all of this, if you please, a recognized religious worship. Now you may say today, exactly what does astrology, exactly what do horoscopes have to do with the revival of Satanism? Our answer is found in the fact that astrology opens the door for membership into the Church of Satan. And it is but one of the efforts of Satanism to enlist the hearts of men in the interest of furthering the worship of Satan itself. The United Press on May the 24th, 1970, brought attention to the fact that a radio program in Southern California switched its emphasis from astrology to witchcraft as the interest in the worship of Satan increased. Now, astrology is a less fearful manifestation of Satanism than almost anything else, but it is a serious thing to consider from that standpoint because, in its very simplicity, it becomes a very dangerous thing. Individuals who look upon it as somewhat harmless become involved in it, and when they are hopelessly enmeshed in it, they prove to be fertile ground for those who would proselyte to the worship of Satan. I do not know how familiar you are with the subject we are discussing, so I think it would be wise for us to have a definition of terms, because oftentimes we mix up astronomy in our thinking with astrology, out of which horoscopes come. So we remind you that astronomy is a scientific exploration of the stars, and it provides a very interesting study that will bring one's heart welling up in gratitude and praise to God for his marvelous, majestic handiwork. Astrology, on the other hand, represents the prediction of human character and destiny from the stars and their constellations. This prediction to which we refer is based upon horoscopes. Now, I dare say that most of us have heard the word, whether we fully understand its significance or not. So let me suggest for the record that a horoscope represents predictions of the future with related guidance based upon the position of planets and stars with the signs of the zodiac. Now, this guidance of which we speak is not a prediction in the sense of what is to be, will be. Rather, it represents a prediction of the future which you can change by your actions. For example, if you are born under a certain sign of the zodiac, you are told for that particular period of time in question that it's going to be very dangerous for you to be very active. And if this be true, the best thing for you to do is to stay in bed. It follows, if you believe the prediction of the prognosticator, you will stay in bed and thus thwart the stars and the destiny they have planned for you. On the other hand, if your horoscope indicates that the time in question would be an advantageous time for you to do some great feat, exploit, or perform some business venture, you could thwart the destiny of the stars by refusing to act upon the matter in question. I believe the terms which we are using tonight would be a bit clearer if we refreshed our minds concerning the development of astrology and the use of horoscopes, because though it has had a tremendous influx of interest, it is by no means a recent science, as someone said. I prefer to use the term pseudoscience because actually it is not a science. But astrology had its beginning 5,000 years ago in Babylon. And those of you who are familiar with your Bibles will recognize that Babylon is the cradle of idolatry. Those who originated astrology designed what might be called an imaginary orbit of fixed stars that will occur in the course of one given year. This imaginary, and I do emphasize that, this imaginary orbit of fixed stars was called by the Babylonians the zodiac. In using the zodiac, predictions were made on the basis of the fact that the zodiac was composed of 12 houses, you might want to say 12 stations, dominated by a planet for each house. As the stars within the houses of the zodiac assumed a certain conjunction one with the other, then predictions could be made. The individuals who founded the idea of astrology gave each one of the signs of the zodiac a planet which would dominate the history of the house. Those planets were named after Roman gods, gods that later came to be known as the gods of Roman mythology. These gods were considered to have personalities. The planets were given the names of the gods, indicating that the planets would express the personalities of the god in question. The sun, the moon, Jupiter, and Venus were always considered gods who were favorable to mankind. So if you were fortunate enough to be born under one of these planets in right conjunction with the stars, you could expect a favorable stay upon the earth. On the other hand, the planet Saturn and the planet Mars were considered, as were the gods of mythology, to be unfavorable to the human race. If you were unfortunate enough to be born under one of those stations in the zodiac, then you could expect a great deal of trouble. The planet Mercury is listed because it could be either. Some days, if Mercury woke up feeling good, your day would be good. And if he woke up on the wrong side of the bed, then your day would be a bad day. So fortunate indeed would you be if you were born when Mercury was feeling good, because your life, consequently, would be the better for it. I mentioned that the zodiac was made up of 12 stations. I think it would be wise for us to familiarize ourselves with the names of those 12 stations, because sometimes you see not only the names, but the signs which are represented by them. And I would like for you to be familiar with them, because I am concerned at the thoughtlessness of Christians who will use the signs of the zodiac for designs upon scarfs and ties, use the signs of the zodiac for decorations within their own homes. Now, I'm not going to tell you tonight that some evil thing is going to befall you if you follow such innocent practices as this. But I am going to say to you that either you are grossly ignorant of the source of the things that you are glorifying, or you couldn't care less about the Christian's relationship with the things of Satan. The signs of the zodiac, or the names of the stations, are Capricorn, Aquarius. So prominent is this revival of interest that even our space exploration efforts have taken it into consideration. Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. Carl Reiter, one of the men who produce horoscopes in the local paper and who is a very prominent individual in this field, didn't like the word Cancer, so he took the liberty of changing the name that was established some 5,000 years ago to Moonfellow. He thought that sounded a bit better than Cancer, since Cancer has provided so much heartache for so many folk today. Then, of course, there is Leo and Virgo and Libra and Scorpio and Sagittarius. Now, of course, you can see the signs. Water bearer, fish, ram, bull, twins, crab, lion, virgin, scale, servant, and the archer. Each one of these stations in the zodiac are designated by a definite calendar period. December the 22nd to January the 19th represents Capricorn. And if you were born on any day in this particular period of time, then you can look for the sign, the goat, or the word Capricorn, and you can discover what is prophesied or predicted for you. And of course, the divisions of time go on down till the circle is completed, November the 22nd to December the 21st. Sometimes individuals who are not familiar with this about which we are speaking do not even recognize what is presented in the newspapers along this line and get involved in it before they realize its origin and its relationship. We would remind you today that the astrologers take the relative position of the planets and the stations in the zodiac and determine what is good for you, what is bad for you in relation to these various positions. They pronounce according to what they see in the stars. Now, we have thought with you about the historical development of astrology. Of more interest, I think, would be the current development of this pseudoscience, which had its beginning, I reemphasize, in the cradle of idolatry. For it has had an amazing growth in the last 25 years. Something that should concern all thinking Christians because of the tremendous hold that it has on people today. There are a recognized 10,000 astrologers in the United States alone who are predicting the future of individuals for a fee. We're not talking about people who are simply interested in reading the horoscopes in the paper. We're talking about 10,000 paid astrologers who have found enough interest on the part of individuals to make it a paying thing. The Hearst publications have said that books which are related to any subject on the zodiac have had a phenomenal sales growth, in that they sell 2.5 to 3 million copies yearly, any subject on the zodiac. The Doubleday Universal Book Club on books of the zodiac has at the present time 100,000 members, a phenomenal membership for a book club of any kind. And this book club has its members in all locations and in all phases of society. It is an interesting thing to notice that the newspapers in the last 20 years have begun publishing horoscopes to the tune of 1,200 giant dailies, not considering smaller papers, where only 20 years ago there were only 100 papers publishing these horoscopes. This in itself should indicate the tremendous interest abroad in our land today in the subject of astrology, the innocent manifestation of Satanism, so-called. If you visited the average bookstore, newsstand, you could find astrology dealing with nearly every phase of life. Here are some titles I have discovered. Astrology for Everyday Living. Your Baby's First Horoscope. How to Find Your Mate Through Astrology. And if you housewives are having a bit of a problem related to your cooking, there is a book for you, Cooking with Astrology and the Zodiac Cookbook. And if you have some pets at home, you hunters, if you're not doing too well with your hounds, there is a book, Astrology for Hounds. And if you happen to have a pet cat who means a great deal to you and about whom you are concerned, then you should by all means purchase the cat's horoscope astrology book, because there are horoscopes printed therein for your pet cat so that there will not be any real problem related to its future. The very titles of this book indicate how man has almost lost his senses in relation to this subject, which suggests that the growth is more than ordinary. It suggests to my mind that back of it all, is indeed the efforts of seducing demons in these latter days. Seems to me that every Christian ought to be concerned. I am sure some are. That's the reason why that the question was asked. But I say Christians ought to be concerned because there are evidences which indicate that Christians have become thoughtlessly involved in the practice of studying horoscopes. As a matter of fact, this tremendous sales volume of 2.5-3 million copies of astrological books have had their greatest market in what is commonly referred to as the Bible Belt. Now, some folk would say, well, a good bit of the Bible Belt is inhabited by illiterate people who are naturally superstitious. I'm not at all sure that would be true, but should it be, it indicates how concerned we ought to be for a lack of knowledge in relation to this particular subject. Christians concern me because I have had Christians laughingly say, I read my horoscope today, I'm curious to see what's going to happen to me. I'm waiting to see if it's going to happen the way it said it would happen. And I have had some Christians even say to me, you just weren't born under the right star. That's the reason things are not going well today. Now, even though these may be innocent remarks, they concern me because they indicate to me how thoughtlessly Christians are falling into the snare of the devil. And less enlightened Christians might hear such remark from enlightened Christians and be led astray. There is another reason why Christians should be concerned about this matter, and that is there are some astrologers that have an essence of spiritual life about them. And individuals are assuming that because they make claims toward spirituality, that anything they say could not be related to the devil. For example, a Jeannie Dixon, who is known to most of you, she has a column in this local paper, is a spiritual person. I'm not using that term in the sense of a scripturally spiritual person, but she does seem to have a spiritual insight. She is a devout Roman Catholic. Many of her predictions are God-centered and Christ-centered in that she gives God and Christ the credit for her predictions. And she gives testimony to the fact that her gift of being able to foretell the future is a special gift from God. And I have heard Christians say, I heard Jeannie Dixon say that with my own ears. So how could there be anything wrong with what she says is a gift from God? I would remind you today that the Lord Jesus Christ said that there will come a day when individuals will say to him, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? And the Lord Jesus Christ will say, depart from me. I never knew you. This is not to say anything that would be construed as an attack upon Jeannie Dixon's personal life, because as far as I have been able to learn, she lives an impeccable life. But it is to discount her statement that this supposed gift related to the future is a gift from God. God does not give his gifts to be proselyted in the manner in which this particular gift has been proselyted. And when God gives a gift, it does not operate sometimes, it operates always. It is dependable. Now that leads me to suggest that we think for a few moments about why we as Christians should avoid this matter of astrology. Why we as Christians should avoid anything to do with horoscopes being particular and specific. And the first thing that I would like to suggest to you is that we should avoid it because of its scientific inaccuracies. You cannot believe everything which is presented in the name of science. Astronomers, will you notice what I'm saying to you? Astronomers are rejecting astrology under the terms of it being superstition, quackery, and a big business. The German Astronomical Society, one of the most respected in the world, dismissed astrology in these very terms. They said, after their very familiar experience with the stars, that astrology is nothing more than superstition, quackery, and big business. Sad indeed that men would make their decisions on such a pseudoscience that is known for its inaccuracy. Another reason why that you and I should avoid astrology is what I have referred to as its unreliable predictions. Usually, the thing which is played up by the media are the reliable predictions, the predictions which have come true. For example, Jeannie Dixon has received almost everlasting acclaim because she predicted the assassination of President Kennedy, because she predicted the election of Nixon to the presidency. Other astrologers have received quite a bit of acclaim because they predicted to the exact day the marriage of Jacqueline Kennedy and Aristotle Onassis. These things, people say, prove that they have an unusual insight into the future. But I wonder why that the goofs, the mistakes, of these same people have not been publicized to the same extent. For example, Jeannie Dixon, Carol Reiter, two of the outstanding astrologists in America today, predicted a California earthquake this year in which the entire state of California would fall into the sea. People even sold their property and made arrangements to leave the state because they believed these predictions. So closely was this prediction believed that Governor Reagan had to issue a special statement that he had planned for a year to take his vacation in the month of August, and he was not leaving the state because of this prediction. Well, the month of August has come and has gone, and California has not fallen into the sea. But you will not hear very much about that, I'm quite sure. Now, an interesting thing about our friend Jeannie Dixon, who has become almost an eternal prophet along this line. She prophesied that Jacqueline Kennedy and would remain a widow, would not marry under any condition. And on the day that Jacqueline Kennedy and Aristotle Onassis married, the great city dailies had to pull the horoscope of Jeannie Dixon, because on that day she said, "I still stand on my prediction that Jacqueline Kennedy will not marry," on the very day the marriage ceremony was taking place. But you don't hear a great deal about that. And of course you're all familiar with the romance, so-called, of Lyndon Johnson and George Hamilton. Joni Dixon predicted that they would marry. She was positive they would. They haven't. Now, the only reason that I have brought these to your attention is that the characters involved are well known to you, and you can pursue the authenticity of what I say. I say to you that you should avoid anything to do with astrology because of the unreliable predictions. The prophet of God never makes an unreliable prediction. And if these predictions have come from God, then the message has been mixed up somewhere in the process of communication. Now, there is another reason why that we should avoid it. And this seems to me to be a very important reason, the damage it does. Individuals say, well, what possible harm could it do to read your horoscope in the newspaper? It may not have harmed you. But Dr. Schrank, an outstanding psychologist, in addressing a group on the psychology of superstition, said, and I quote, "We can see how dangerous astrology is by the way it produces serious psychic disturbances, a fear of life, despair, and other disorders in a sensitive people. Astrology paralyzes initiative and powers of judgment. It stupefies and encourages shallowness. It molds the personality into receiving an underground movement that thrives on platitudes." And that is the end of quote. And that leads me to say to you that another reason, and perhaps this is by far the most important, is that astrology should be avoided because of its relation to evil. And that brings us to the heart of what we want to say to you. What does the scripture say about this matter? You would probably not have been too interested in listening to to what the Scripture said if you thought this a harmless pastime. That's the reason why I have made an effort to establish the seriousness of interest in horoscopes, to emphasize to you that what the Word of God has to say about it should be very carefully heeded and obeyed, because we should be interested in obeying all the Word of God. I could say by way of summary tonight that the Bible equates astrology with paganism, blasphemy, and apostasy from the living God. And if you do not remember all of the scriptures that I have suggested, that I will suggest to you, keep in mind, the Bible equates astrology with paganism, blasphemy, and apostasy from the living God. What are the scriptural prohibitions related to the matter of astrology? We couldn't begin to look at all of them tonight, but I want to give you a sampling of them as far as categories are concerned. The Bible says that an interest in astrology represents a departure from the truth. Will you turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Leviticus, way over in the Old Testament, of course, and notice the 20th chapter of the book of Leviticus, which you will find on page 173. God was giving instruction to Moses, through Moses, to the children of Israel concerning some of the things they would find in the land in which they were to reside. And because time will not permit a perusal of the entire paragraph, I call to your attention verse 6, where we read, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from his people." Notice the word wizards. It is another word for astrologers. God says the individual who follows after astrologers is departing from the truth. And he expresses that with the word whoring, because the word whoring, or the word adultery, as you find it in the scriptures from a spiritual standpoint, always represents a departure from the truth. Will you turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 10? And notice in Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." Notice what God says to his chosen people. Do not adopt the ways of the heathen. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven. Now the implication of the verse, which is indicated in the context, is that the Israelites should not study the signs of the heaven, as did the heathen, and be frightened because what they read there in what they considered a sad future for them. The scripture indicates that individuals who follow astrology are worthy of death. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, we'll not take the time to turn there, God says the individual who becomes interested in astrology in the nation of Israel should be stoned to death. Now we recognize that this was something which was addressed to Israel. Please do not leave the building tonight and say that I am advocating the stoning of everybody who reads a horoscope. I'm simply saying that if God thought that this mixture was serious enough to sentence to death individuals who became interested in it, so the entire nation of Israel would not be contaminated, enlightened Christians should have absolutely nothing to do with it. Will you turn with me, please, in your Bibles, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 47. In the 47th chapter of the book of Isaiah, which you will find on page 924, we have another body of Scripture or an illustration of another body of Scripture. The Scripture prohibits anything to do with astrology because of the very futility of the subject itself. In Isaiah chapter 47, God challenges through his prophet those who have spent so much time along this line. And he says in verse 12, "Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it." God said, if you have placed so much confidence in what your astrologer has to say, then let your astrologer stand and deliver you in a time of real need. God could not express any more clearly the futility of depending upon the stargazers for guidance and for direction. Now, the last thing that I would like to say to you regarding scriptural prohibitions in connection with astrology is related to what I have indicated by the words, something better. Why? Why do you, why does anyone want to depend upon an inaccurate pseudoscience for guidance related to the future when there is something so much better? Why does anyone want to depend upon the prophecies of a fallible person such as Jeannie Dixon or Carol Reiter when there is something so much better? The people of God have had to come face to face with this before. Will you turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18? And will you notice on page 279 the paragraph which begins with verse 9? When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, an astrologer, nor or a necromancer. For all that do these things are, and will you notice, I didn't say this, God said it, all that do these things, whether they are living in the United States or in the land of Canaan, whether they are living in centuries before Christ or in the year of our Lord 1970, all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God shall drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. And then, because of lack of time, I would like for you to skip over to the 15th verse and notice something better. Don't go to the astrologers. Don't go to the necromancers, because the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. And you recognize in the text that the word prophet is capitalized. It is a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you, beloved, you do not need to turn to fallible men to learn how to govern your future. You do not need to listen to the empty prophecies of men who are basing them on a science highly inaccurate to know what the future holds. All you need to do is trust your future to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has never made a mistake. I am glad today that my future is not determined by the conjunction of the stars. I am glad my future is determined by the activity of the sun. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N. The activity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in my behalf. What should you do in relation to horoscopes? Ask God to forgive you if you've had anything to do with them, and pass over that section in the paper when you come to it, because you are treading on thin ice, playing with fire, and laying yourself open to the influence of demon activity. Shall we bow our heads together for prayer? Our Father, we are grateful that when we want to know anything, we can find the answer in thy word. Give us the grace and the wisdom not to depend upon the foolishness of men, but to reside permanently in the certainty of God. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.